Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
You can remain seated just for a moment because I've been giving commercials on these little handouts we give to you every week. Are you making any use of those things at all? I got news for you. Lord willing, I'm working with a particular app developer, and you know apps cost thousands and thousands of dollars to develop. There's a fellow that we're joined with. He's going to develop an app for us for free. Yeah. And so, Lord, it's a long process. It'll probably take about 6 months to do it. But for how many of you use your cell phone for a lot of stuff? How many of you use apps on your cell phone? Guess what? We'll be able to have this on your cell phone, and you'll be able to do various things. So then you'll have no excuse. Oh, I forgot it at the church. It's on your phone, okay? So we're going to start communicating in that particular fashion. So I'm just thankful for that. So pray that I can get the time to spend with him, but it'll be a really valuable thing that we'll be able to use in various departments of the church. So God is doing great things in our lives. Give the Lord a big hand for that. How about that? But don't forget to do this, that's for sure. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to get into the Word of God. I'm excited about what God's going to teach us today because I even like my title. It's a wonderful title. But let's get into it. Acts chapter 27, verses 9 through 22. And so it's going to be an interesting thing we're going to talk about today because I think in our lives we go through a lot of different things. I'll look at verse 9. It says, "Now when much time had been spent, and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them." Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. You know what's interesting? They've got a different.
Yes, they do.
And they need to fix that because y'all in the wrong spirit. No, it's okay. It's just a different version. It's not the real sanctified version. Okay. And because we were exceedingly, well, the next day they lightened the ship. Okay, go on with verse, whatever you get. Verse 18, go with it. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. But long after the absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed to Crete and incurred this disaster and loss."
Now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed.
For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Saying, boy, this is interesting. Okay, well, that'll work. This is an interesting day, different interpretations. Let's pray. Jesus, there's so much that we can talk about. But today we want to talk about those times in our lives when we have a warning from you to do things differently. And somehow we feel like we can just kind of go our own way. Today, Lord, we're going to talk about shipwreck. We're going to talk about things that happen in our lives that we weren't planning on. And even the things that some of the storms that some people might be going through. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that the power of the Holy Spirit would surround us, would encompass us with the great desire of knowing you even better in the midst of troubling situations. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray today that when we leave here, we'll leave here a different person or different individual, knowing that you have been with us through the worst of storms of life. And we thank you for this. We give praise to you for all these things. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Look at somebody, look them in the eye, take them by the hand, and tell them this: you should have listened to me. Go ahead and be seated. Go ahead and be seated. I know with a statement like that, a lot of you said, oh, Lord. You know, memories that we can think of. October 12th, 1962. How many remember what happened? Anybody remember? Columbus Day storm, October 12th, 1962. I wonder where were you at that particular time when probably the worst storm that ever hit the Portland area, and actually it hit in Washington as well. Loss of life, about 34 people. I remember exactly where I was. I was standing in front of my house about 5 o'clock in the evening, and I said, oh my goodness, and the wind was blowing and this type of thing. I had no idea, because we don't have storms like that. But then the storm got more velocity to it. I think the peak amount it reached as far as miles per hour was 104 miles per hour. And trees were falling, and matter of fact, 12 billion board feet of lumber were lost in that storm. 12 billion board feet. But I remember that we were kind of in our house. We were kind of scared. Our parents weren't home yet. And it was just it was horrible time. The sky was just so black and so dismal as far as I was concerned. So we decided we'd go in the house, take refuge in the house. And we were sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden, because there were so many trees that were lost, we had just moved from the kitchen into the living room area, and this huge sound happened, and this big crashing sound happened, and our neighbor's tree came through the back of our house into our window to the very place where we were sitting 5 minutes before then. Had we been sitting at the table, we would have been taken out. Only reason why I tell that story, I wanted to talk about storms. Storms come and go. But I wonder how many of you would say, you know, I'm kind of riding a storm right now. Raise your hand and say, I'm kind of in the midst of a storm right now. I know I'm going to talk to some folks today. The idea behind it is the minimal amount, you know, the things that we get an opportunity to go when we're going through a storm. You can't really prepare for some things, but there are other things in this particular situation that if you read the first part of this chapter, Paul has some intuition of the Spirit that says, you know what? What you folks are about to do is not a good idea. But nobody listened. Without any amount of effort, most parents or those of a mentorship with someone subordinate to them could easily recall using the words, you should have listened to me. Making such a statement is usually intending to remind a person that the advantage that they could have profited from someone who either has something who knows better by virtue of personal experience, or they could have prevented from some negative and very costly experience. Warnings or promptings of the Holy Spirit are often readily available to those who are willing to seek guidance and submit to the plans that seem contrary to their own personal preferences. We're going to talk about this in three different facets. Number one is this. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can give you guidance in making everyday decisions? Okay. Number two. Do you have difficulty knowing the difference between the Lord's guidance and your personal preferences? Say yes. Because there's some things you want to do, he don't want you to do. But you go ahead and do it anyway. Here's number three. Have you suffered losses because of your unwillingness to obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit? And that's what we're going to talk about today, of the times when we have an opportunity to do things differently, and we just don't do it. We're going back into Acts chapter 27, verse 10. And Paul's captivity did not prevent him from hearing from the Lord. I want to say something to you, to most of us that are here today. You may be going through something here, and you feel like you're disqualified from hearing from God because you're in the midst of a storm. I want to tell you, God still speaks to you in the midst of a storm. Sometimes we get so focused on the things we're going through, we forget the fact that God still loves us in the midst of all the stuff we're going through. Let's get this verse here. Saying, men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only for of the cargo, the ship, but also our lives. That was his first readout of what was going to happen. And unfortunately, when we're going through something, we don't have anything to differentiate between what we're going through and what the end result is going to be. Let me give you a little bit of background on Paul. Paul was once a man named Saul. If you want to know his story, you want to know his testimony, go to Acts chapter 9. It'll tell you about a fellow who was, I can use the word, hell-bent. He was hell-bent on getting rid of Christians. And he's on his way. He's got all the papers. He's got everything to authorize what he's about to do. And all of a sudden, he has an encounter with God that he wasn't anticipating. Because all of a sudden, a light appears from heaven. It shines down upon him, and it's just so intense that he falls to the ground. But here's the interesting thing about it. The very first words come out of his mouth is, he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And the words that come out of his mouth is, who art thou, Lord? How do you say that? The person you're fighting against, when there's something within you that you knew that it wasn't quite right, but at this particular point, you are face to face with reality. Today, I believe some of you are going to be face to face with the reality of things that you've known but haven't ascribed to, but God's going to change your direction and the way that you're going. The Holy Spirit can use anybody or any animal to straighten you out. There was a waylaid prophet, and the Bible uses an ass to get him turned around. I know you want to say donkey. I like to use ass because I'm not swearing. Because the ass begins to talk to him and says, "What are you going to get somebody killed, but you ain't going to kill me." Because he says, what are you doing? You're going against what God wants you to do. But the interesting thing about it is the Holy Spirit has the ability. Believers have access to information regarding everyday life, but it's locked up in the very fact that God can speak to you. And so here's the setup. Before anything happens, there's a warning saying, this is not going to turn out so good. Wow. Without heaping conviction on top of anyone, because I live in that same street with you, there are times when we had promptings, warnings, even some sort of things that come to us, and we ignored them and did what we wanted to do. Well, here we go. Believers can receive insight and wisdom about natural things that pertain to everyday events. Paul's intuition was both natural and supernatural. Now, there are certain things we know about the season of the year, and they give you all kind of weather predictions about what this fall winter is going to be about. You know, it wasn't supposed to rain yesterday. It wasn't supposed to rain for 10 more days. Guess what happened? Hello? We think we know, but we really don't know. But we'll get out the rowboat. Oh, yes, we're in a dry season. It's going to extend to 10 more days. I want to get that weatherman and slap him in Jesus' name. Because you got people all wired up and they believe this stuff. Well, there's something about it that we're going to learn today. Paul's wisdom was discounted by those who were in charge because he was a prisoner. I want to talk to you about the times when people ignored you. They minimized the things that God was doing, had told you, because they felt as though you were subservient to them. I know it's hard for, for some of you to, that you're smarter than your boss. Now, you'd never say that to him or her. But somehow, there's an intuition, honestly and truly, that you have. But you know, they're not going to listen to you. Because their position discounts who you are. And we're going to take care of that particular issue today as we even talk. But what about this? The world does not recognize our direct relationship to the one who's in control of all things. I want to bring some hope to you folks who are believers that God will give you insight and perspective on situations. And right now you feel minimalized. You feel like you're ignored. You feel like people don't acknowledge who's in your life. Take heart. God is going to vindicate you. But you got to start believing what God says about you. The Holy Spirit promised us access to all truth and to all things. But listen to this. Sometimes we may not be able to prove how we know what we know, and we will have confirmation in the Spirit that we are walking in truth. So that sets us up for something that's really going to be exciting. We are often overtaken by things that in our natural perception and intuition seem to be okay. So we're going to go into Proverbs 14, 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Anybody know what that means? That the world will give you certain things that says, oh, this is the right way to do it, but the end result will be death, destruction, separation, all the things that you don't want to have in your life. That's what the world has kind of prescribed to you. And the end result of this is going to be something that's really not that good. But here we go with it. There are things that are always like we suppose them to be. I remember Andre Crouch wrote a song. He says, there is a way that seems right to me. And he was on that particular scripture. It looks right. It feels right. But oh, something's missing. You know what that something missing is? The power of Jesus. It looks right. Feels right. But oh, something's missing. Some of you are sitting here today, and I believe there's an element that God's going to add to your life. It'll be the element of the Holy Spirit that's going to change your whole outlook on the things that are going on in your life. Well, our best efforts to stay on course may cause us to make some seriously dangerous decisions. And this is a part, going back into our chapter in verses 19 and 20 of Acts 27, it says this. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. I need to talk to people right now that have lost hope, that have sealed their faith saying, it's not going to change, going to ride it out, don't know where it's going to end up. But I've given up that God's going to do anything in my life. I want to talk to people today that feel like their life is headed for shipwreck and there's nothing they can do to turn it around. I want to tell you that's a lie. I want to tell you prophetically that people who have come to this service today, who have sang all the wonderful songs that we've wanted to sing, they're saying them not in the hope that it'll make their situation different, but that's what we were subscribed to do. But in your heart, in your spirit, you feel like I'm on a destiny, I'm on a ship that's going down or is going into a disastrous situation. But here's something interesting that you'll find out about the decision that was made. It's really quite something. The very first thing they threw overboard was a tackle which was used to guide the ship's sails and keep the vessel on course. Some of the reason why that you believe like you believe is the very thing you've thrown out of the equation is God's word in your life. The tackle was those particular things that would keep the actual sails for the boat going the right direction. They said, oh, we're in the middle of a storm. Oh, it's really too heavy for us. So let's throw the tackle overboard and let's just go freelance through there and see what happens. The reason why your ship is not on course is because you threw the Bible overboard. You're not giving any credence to what the Word of God says. You're just kind of freelancing. Oh, I'll just kind of ride this storm out because the Bible's too heavy. The Word from God's a little bit too heavy. We really can't follow that. So you threw the Bible out, and you're relying on your intellect, and you're relying on your feelings, and you're relying on the things that feel good to you, and you're relying on the internet. Some of you have more confidence in Google than you have in Galatians. You know what I'm saying. When's the last time we've consulted the Bible for our situation? And we're looking for all other things to try to get input from them, but it's really not working. Well, even though the tackle was heavy, it was the only way they could control the direction the ship was going. They said, well, this is too heavy. If we lighten this off the boat, we'll be a lot better off. We'll have a better chance of survival. No, you won't. You'll just be tossed about by every wind that comes along. And eventually, hopelessness will take over. Well, what about this? Without our ability to be guided by the wind in the sails, there's no hope for survival. All hope for survival, it says, was gone in a matter of a few days. And so they're just kind of, sun's going up, sun's going down, going down. They didn't know about it, couldn't see it. But there's no hope of being saved. Well, I want to bring you to a place, all of us to a place, where we've made those decisions about what's going on in our life that has no real foundation to it. The power of the Spirit is with you in the midst of your storm. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 37. This is a great place for us to begin to rebuild our faith. On the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. I need to revisit your storm for you. So, the thing that we've got to take here is that the storm is on the outside, but Jesus is on the inside of the boat. We have our focus on what's going on the outside. We forget who's on the inside. I want you to tell every person in this room right now, whatever's going on around you is not the totality of how this is going to end up. As long as Jesus is on the inside, you're going to make it through the storm. Oh, yeah. But the winds are blowing, and things are coming against you. And the thing that I see right now, that prophetically for folks that are sitting here, it seems it's getting worse and worse and worse. Well, consider this factor, and I believe is number one, is don't take the presence of the storm to indicate the absence of Jesus. Don't look out, look in. Don't be afraid of the parameters that are going on the outside of you. Look within of what Jesus has said. The storm can arise out of what appears to be nowhere, and storms are inevitable, but I'll tell you what, I remember those old songs that used to say, "I'm so glad troubles don't last always." They don't last always. But when you're in one, it seems like it's never going to end. So the fact of the matter is, storms come, but storms go. But when you're in one, you don't have that perspective because you're focusing on the storm and not focusing on who's with you in the midst of the storm. What does that mean? Storms will cause you to question the sovereignty of the Lord. Now, if you know this story as well as some people do, Jesus is in the boat, and what's he doing? Sleeping. That should give you a clue. He's with you. He's sleeping, But we have oftentimes seen taking this leaving of Jesus not saying anything as that he does not care. Ever felt like that? Don't vote. Yeah, it causes a question of the sovereignty of the Lord, but here's something that I think is going to be important. Some of you may be into, and was there ever a, because I don't remember, there was one of those daytime soap operas, was there ever one called Secret Storm? Oh, really? You watched it, okay. Do you know what a secret storm is? The things that you carefully hide from people when you come to church. How you, oh, praise the Lord, God is so good. Hallelujah, everything's great, you know. Oh, praise Jesus, this type of thing. And you are going, and inside you are going through such turmoil and all this stuff is going on, but you're supposed to say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, all is good. Really? Let me help you with that. When we are in a storm, it's difficult to see our way out. The atmosphere of a storm only causes us to seek one thing, survival. That's it. And here's some things that I think will be important for us. The comfort of a believer in a storm is a promise that Jesus said he would never leave us. Well, we got to go to this particular place. It's easy to forget, no matter what we're going through, that he's going through it with us. Verses 20 through to 24 in chapter 27, this is it. Now I urge you to take heart. There will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Whoa. Do you know sometimes you're going through a storm? It's not just for you. It's for those people who are along with you. So if you're going through a storm, I want to tell you, I'm in it with you. I understand that oftentimes the devil will tell us, you're the only person, you're the only person who thinks like this, the only person who's going through this type of thing. That's not what the prophetic word will say to you. And I want to prophesy to someone today. You're going through a storm, but you know what? There are people who will stand with you and ride with you through that storm. But you know what? You decide to be a secret stormer and pretend like it's okay. I'm not saying that you need to just basically just unload everything that's going on in your life, but you know, a lot of times the Bible says that as a body of people, that God has brought us here to be encouragers of one another, to allow our hearts to encourage those folks. And we have access through the Holy Spirit beyond what can be seen. And the other part of this, our presence in a storm will benefit and the fate of those who do not believe. I recall many times in being involved when I was working in the secular realm, which was for a very short period of time, that you'd be going through something. And I remember a time that I was in an environment, I don't need to know which one it was, but there was a particular person in our office that had a very serious illness. And the Lord told me, he says, speak to that person and tell them that God heals those situations. I'm thinking, oh, no. Healing in an office that was decadent as could be, and then we start getting fearful. But God said, I want you to speak to that situation. And here's the thing that you need to realize. Do you realize that the majority of miracles that Jesus did was with unsaved people? Look, check the Bible out. First, he says, before he lays hands on, do you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? No, the people who had things, woman who had lost her son, who had died, this type of thing. He sees a funeral procession. He stops a funeral procession and brings him back from the dead. He didn't ask him, are you serving God? Folks, do you realize that you have an opportunity to make a difference in people's life, even if they're going through a storm, that you can be the person that will help them through that storm? So the woman had the big C, cancer. And for some reason, I know what reason that was, the Lord says, just tell her that you'll be praying for her and that God can heal her. That's all you have to do. You don't have to get the oil and start splashing oil. In the name of Jesus, I command this demon of cancer to come out of her right now. You hear me? I said, God can heal you from that. I'll be praying for you. 3 days later, she comes back screaming. She went to the doctor. God totally healed her. But here's the better part. Then after that, she gave her heart to Jesus. And she's still serving Jesus to this day, as far as I know. My friend, the storms that people are going through, we still have to put our firm belief in who Jesus is and take your eye off the storm. Well, a couple more things that are really important. Our response to the storm can be a blessing to those around us. The Lord will affect those things concerning our benefit. But here's a piece that I think will be really good. When you see the dark clouds over your head, I want to say this to every person here that's going through something. I want you to repeat this after me in faith. I am coming out of this better than when I went in. What a statement of faith. That means even though I'm going to go through the storm, I'm going to come out better than when I started in this whole thing. See, how can you say that? Because you don't realize it's getting worse and worse. I'm coming out better than I went in. Because I'm realizing who's on board, who's taking me through this. Well, it gets better than that. Storms never last forever, but storms should bring us closer to Jesus and more reliant upon his word. Oh, I got to get to this last little piece here, and I've been waiting for this. Do not allow the presence of a storm to make you doubt the presence of Jesus. Mark 4, verses 38 and 39. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" I know none of you have never said that to God. Not in those words. But this is how we say it to God. Oh, well, I got to do something because Jesus ain't doing anything. That's just the equivalent of saying he really doesn't care, so I better do something if I want to survive. Here's a word from the Lord for someone that is sitting in this room right now that feels like you're at the end of your rope. Your finances are pretty much depleted. You know, all the things have been going the wrong direction. And the conclusion of the devil is, Jesus does not care about your situation. Let's go to the next verse. Teacher, not care that we are perishing? Then he arose. No, leave it there, I'm sorry. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, read those words. I want you to look at me right now. I'm going to look over here. I'm going to look over there. Peace, be still. What's that saying? I'm saying peace, be still over everything that says anything contrary that God is not concerned about your situation. I say peace, be still. I'm going to say it a different way. I'm going to say it get away. Peace, shut up. I got to work with these folks over here. I'll be back. Peace, be still. I want to say that over that situation that has kept you up night after night, that has dominated the way that you think, the way that you believe, the way that you pray, that you keep praying over and over and over and over again, things that if you pray enough, you'll start believing instead of doubting. Repetition will get you nowhere. Faith will take you to the top of the mountain. And I believe that right now that God is going to say, when I say, peace be still, I'm saying, devil, you need to shut up and allow the power of God to take over that situation. You meant evil, God's going to turn it around for good. Peace, be still. Well, what does that mean in a practical sense? Jesus lives in you and has empowered you to rebuke the storm. I know this is hard. But it's the same Spirit that dwells within you that raised Jesus from the dead. If it quickens your mortal body, you're able to speak to the situation and say, oh no, be still. Now watch this. He rebukes the winds, and the winds stop. Now, some people have wondered, and there's no wonder here for me, well, isn't God behind every storm? No, there's some things he's given over to the enemy of this world, causes storms, disasters, and that type of thing. You will not find Jesus rebuking the Father saying, Dad, you made a mistake. Stop doing that. No, he said, peace be still to the enemy who was trying to tell them. Because remember what he said to them? The original verse was, let us go over to the other side. He gets in the boat, he goes to sleep, the storm arises, and he didn't change his mind. See, what happens, we go through a storm, and we think that Jesus changed his mind about what he told us. He told you at the beginning he's going to take you to the other side, but the devil will do everything to make you think you're not going to make it. Some of you think you're not going to make it, but in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit. God says you're going to make it. Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe God. With a couple of other little nuggets. So when we are a storm, we must remember we are not alone. Storms will make us feel that we have, no one really understands what you're going through. Oh, I got to repeat that one. Well, if they really knew what I was going through, they wouldn't be so hard on me. Because I'm really going through something. Oh, Jesus. I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt. Not saying it doesn't make you wonder. But Jesus understands. The Bible says he's a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. That when he was grieving over Jerusalem at one time, he said, oh, I want to gather you into my Father's care, but you didn't want to come. Or when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but not as I will, as you will. Do you know every sorrow, every grief, every pain that you have in your body right now, Jesus has already atoned for it, that you can believe in Jesus, and he sets you free from all of those things. But what does that mean? It means that storms make us feel he doesn't understand, but some storms in life are sometimes out of disobedience. I knew that was coming. Some of you are in a storm today because you did something that God told you not to do. Okay, make it personal. You are in debt because you bought it because you wanted it, not because you needed it. It's gonna get worse. You're out of relationship with people because you feel like you're right all the time. You're the only person that's right, and everybody else is wrong. Some people can only get out of the storm when they repent of their actions that they've done that are contrary to the will of God. You might as well say amen, because that's the truth. Amen. Well, what does that mean? Here's another part of it. We may be in a storm that was caused by somebody else's disobedience. There's the easy grace part to it. It's them kids. You know, the babies that you try to bail them out and you got yourself in the midst of the situation trying to bail them out of something that they did, and you're in this mess because of the mess they got themselves into, thinking that you're being a good parent. Oh, Jesus. That's a whole different sermon by itself. Some of you have accepted the storm of somebody else that is not yours. Here's a few things that I think will be helpful to you. Our faith must come into alignment with the word that we have received from the Lord in the midst of the storm. Verse 25 of chapter 27, we're almost to the home stretch. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe that it will be just as it is, as it was told me. There are some principles or some things that I need to enumerate to you. That when we receive a word from the Lord, it's a promise, the winds of adversity may not be quiet immediately. The fact is there's the threat of winds blowing and things going on out beyond our parameters that we cannot control does not mean that God has forgotten about you. You still hear the sound, you still hear the commotion. But what about this? No matter what it looks like or feels like, we must have confidence in the Word of God. Now listen to this. Listening to the Lord in the midst of a storm will require faith and confidence in the Word. Now, repeat after me. Storms are only temporary. That's the very first principle that you need to realize. Is I know that we have some, of course, you know, in Oregon sometimes they say, oh, it rains in Oregon all the time. That's a lie. It doesn't rain all the time. A lot of the time, but not all the time. But when we apply that principle across the board, it will change our whole perspective on God. Amen. Because you know what some of us do? We get out of this storm, but you know what we do? We can't enjoy being out of the storm. We're just bracing ourselves for the next one. Oh, I know I'm out of this. Oh, there's another one coming. Oh, I can feel it coming on now. You can't even enjoy not being in the storm. What's wrong with you? Honey, you run around with a raincoat all the time. Come on. The sun does shine. Hallelujah. Second thing. Everything you lose in a storm can be recovered. Never thought about that, did you? We sometimes will try to hold on to things, and we'll lose our life trying to hold on to stuff. God is holding on to you. His promise is over you. He says, I got a word from the Lord, and this is what Paul says. He says, and you know, the first word he got was the fact that, oh, this is going to be disastrous. But the angel says, and let me straighten this out for you, Paul. No, no, no. They're going to make it, but the ship ain't going to make it. If you're so concerned about trying to rescue all the things in your life in order to be happy, the storm will take you out. What about this? You must obey the word in order to survive the storm. And you won't survive the storm if you refuse to listen to the Lord. Now, here's one scripture that I think that you will hang on to, hopefully, for the rest of this week. This is a B part of Deuteronomy 25, the B part of it. Let's say it's the last part of it. As your days, so shall your strength be. I say, well, that's kind of weird. Every day that you go through with your eyes fixed upon Jesus and not on the situation, so shall your strength be. When you take your eye off the storm, when you take your eye off the other things that have gone wrong in your life and you focus on Jesus, so shall your strength be, which means this. To survive a storm, you must be willing to accept the words, and here's the words. Hopefully you'll remember them. First word we have to accept to survive a storm is, it's a two-letter word, no. No is a complete sentence. It doesn't need anything before it or anything after it. No means no. Amen. Some of you need to get a hold of no. Because you have substituted maybe for no. Oh, good, I got a couple minutes. Remember we were talking about, this is about Paul again. Paul was in a situation, remember he told him that he was under persecution and his other type of thing, and he says, Lord, deliver me from this. He approaches God three times to remove the affliction of persecution from, could have been a number of people. It wasn't because, I talked about it a few weeks, it wasn't because he had poor eyesight or whatever else. But here's the part that I want to give you. And you can take this home and you can use it the rest of the week. My grace is sufficient for you. Are you willing to accept the grace of God sufficient for you as you're going through this storm? Or do you need to have something other than that? Because you're not going, because when God says no, he says, I approached God three times and he said no. You want no, man? No. But God will give you the grace to go through what you're going through, and you'll be able to make it through the storm as if the storm wasn't even there. Because his grace will cover you in the midst of all the craziness. Now, what about this? There's another word. It's called stop. Some of you don't know what stop means. You're still coasting. You know what? We got a bunch of California stoppers. You know how you get to ooh, I was close to it. I got it down to 4 miles, 3 miles per hour, and I just kind of coasted through there. You know what? Ever had a policeman pull you over for a California stop? Don't raise your hand. We don't want to know. But you know you didn't stop. You just kind of slowed it down. Do you know what stop means? Anybody confused about stop? Well, Pastor, I almost did it. I'm not as bad as I used to be. Two more words. Worship team, make it up here. You'll save their life. Only two more words, sets of words. Everyone repeat this word after me. Let go. Anybody confused about what that means?
I'm confused. What does it mean to let go? Does this mean to be not as bad as I've been before?
Let go means did I let go of that? Am I still holding on to it? Anybody confused? Let go. Here's the last one. And this is probably the most profound one. It's called relocate.
What?
That doesn't even sound spiritual. It means shift your focus. You've been looking at the wrong thing. This is just the first installment on this particular message. I'll finish it up in the next 2 weeks. But we're going to leave Paul and the rest of the people on board the ship because they just now got their orders or their direction from the Lord that they're going to make it, but they're still in the storm. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, because I want to help some people today to get ready to make it through the storm. The very first group of people I want to talk to are those that are in the midst of a storm because of disobedience. Nobody has, you're not second guessing why you're there. It's because God told you not to and you did it anyway. And you know what I'm talking about. Whatever it is, may I say to you, it's not worth it. Because God's not going to change his plan. He's not going to change his will. He's not going to change his ways to accommodate your rebellion. So I want to suggest something to you. Matter of fact, more than suggest, I want to speak it into your life right now. Today is an opportunity for you to admit how you got in the storm. It was because God told you something in the very beginning. Someone tried to advise you, as Paul tried to advise the people, we shouldn't go into the storm, the weather's not right, and they thought that things were going to make it. And once they set sail with the ship, all of a sudden they found out that everything that he told them was right. I don't want to condemn anybody, but there are people here today who says, you know something, Pastor? I need to get it right. I need to admit my mama was right. My husband was right. My kids were right. My wife was right. And I need to get it together with Jesus. That's as far as I'm going to take it today because there's other things we can talk about next week. So I'm going to pray over some folks. And then I'm going to tell some things prophetically. If those things hit your life, I want to invite you
to deal with it today. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, there are some of us that are here that are in a storm. And Lord, I didn't touch on all the various aspects of the storm. So there are some storms that are psychological. There's some that are physical. There's some that are all kind of different things. But Lord, I want to talk about the things today that will begin this journey for the next week or two. On the things that we know for a fact we never should have got involved in. And we have an opportunity today to let go of it and to receive deliverance from that storm. Lord, I pray over the devil that has convinced people that if they just kind of ride it out, it's going to get different. Lord, they're headed for destruction and they need to turn it around today. And Lord, I pray that you would give them the strength, give them the courage, give them the wisdom to come to Jesus. Lord, I'm not just talking about people that are Christians. I'm talking about people who have professed, who have not given their lives over to Jesus. I'm talking about Christians who know they're in a storm right now because of disobedience to God. And today they want to be set free to do God's will. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now. Lift it up high. Lift it up high. Lift it up high where I can see. Lift it up. Lift it up in Jesus' name. I command you to lift it up in Jesus' name. Leave him up there for a minute because I'm going to make the devil real mad. There's about four more people. You better join them now because I tell you, this is your opportunity to get it straight. Lift it up high where I can see it. That's right. Lift it up, leave them there for a minute because I don't want you to get an idea and just chicken out and say, no. Okay, put those hands down. That's all I'm going to deal with today. We're going to stand a moment. We're going to sing the song, Lord, I Run to You. But I want every single one of you. That's if you're through. Now, if you're still playing with it, stay right where you are. But I want to tell you, it won't serve you well because you may never feel the same way that you feel right now. You may never feel that way again. It's not about feeling. It's about the fact of conviction. And the Holy Spirit has convicted you and said, today's the day to get rid of it and to leave it behind you. And this is the day it needs to happen. And if you didn't happen to raise your hand at that particular point, when these folks are coming and you feel inspired of the Lord to come, you come as well. Every person stand to your feet. Those of you to lift your hands, come right now in Jesus' name. I command you to come right now. Step out right now in Jesus' name. Step right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.